Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP. On the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is May 6, 2026. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 49,910, the NASDAQ at 25,838, and the S&P at 7,365. Our topic tonight is Roth IRAs, conversions, and more. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and they'll bring it in. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And the beauty of that email is you can ask me questions and or give me show ideas, as Nancy did. She had sent in a question about Roth IRAs, and she said when to do, and are the next 3 years a particularly good opportunity to do Roth conversions? Does it depend on one's annual income? How so? How does one do a Roth conversion, etc.? So I just thought, you know what? We'll do a whole show on conversions. So this is dedicated to Nancy for her show idea. I really, really appreciate it. I've been doing this show since 2009 here at WDIY, and prior to this, I was at another station for 2 years. So you can imagine since 2007, what is that, almost 19 years of having to come up with show ideas. So I appreciate when people share them, and you can certainly do that anytime at yourfinancialchoices.com. Just, you know, throw in the idea. So let me kind of lay the groundwork here. I am going to talk about Roth IRAs. I'm going to talk about something called the designated Roth, the Roth conversions, you know, the what to consider in thinking about funding Roths or converting Roths. What is a Roth? Let me start with pre-Roth, which was ways that we could save before. Typically, when we were working for employers long, long time ago, we had pensions, and perhaps we worked for a company that would provide a pension for us. Pensions, for the most part, are going by the wayside. There's not really too many companies that offer them anymore, and I don't know the actual timeline historical dates for this shift, but what happened is they took the burden away from the employer for funding someone's retirement and put that burden more on the employee. So prior to that, we may have had pensions, and if not pensions, we were paying into Social Security. So through our payroll deduction to Social Security, when we would retire at, you know, the appropriate age, we would be given this benefit. Social Security, of course, was never meant to completely cover your retirement needs, but for many people, they live on just Social Security. Social Security, and this is going to be important as we talk about conversions. So Nancy, if you're listening, I hope you are. This is something important when we talk about Social Security. Social Security gets taxable based on how much other income we have on our return. So if we put more income on our return, then more of our Social Security could become taxable. We call that a circular calculation. And that's going to be important when I talk about conversions, when should you do them, and, you know, how, etc. So going back to one method of covering our retirement needs was Social Security, which we paid into. As I said, that was never meant to fully cover. And in fact, it was designed in such a way that most people would never really need it or take it for that long based on life expectancy at the time. Well, as we all know, life expectancy has, you know, we have longer and longer life expectancies. People are living longer, living healthier. There's more medical interventions that we can do that keep us going longer, et cetera. And now more and more people are on Social Security. And then that's where all the talk comes about Social Security, going bankrupt, et cetera, et cetera. They've made changes to Social Security over the years to hopefully mitigate, you know, people not having it available. They've raised the threshold for paying Social Security, for paying Medicare tax, things like that. I think at one time it was the wages weren't even, they may have been stagnant. And so now every year they raise the base for Social Security. How I see them trying to kind of put a Band-Aid on that is they might raise the wage base even higher so more people are paying more into Social Security. They might raise the ages as they have raised the full retirement age. What they have not raised is the early retirement age, which is 62. I think that could make a big difference if they raise that. That could help, you know, keep that funding going a little longer. But so far they have not changed that. But they have raised the full retirement age from at one point 65 to 66, 66 in 1 month, 66 in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, up to age 67. So people born, I think, 1960 or later, the full retirement age is 67. All right. So that's just, you know, one way people fund their retirement, Social Security, then the pensions, which as they've gone away and the burden has been pushed more to the employees, that's where employers started offering things called 401ks, 403bs, 457bs. These are plans that are based on IRS code. And typically when we see or talk about 403bs or 457bs, we're typically talking about nonprofits. You know, whether it's government, education, you know, religious, whatever it might be, that's typically those. And our normal corporate retirement plans are 401ks. Smaller employers might have a plan called a simple IRA. I'm not going to talk about simple IRAs tonight. So we have 401ks, 403bs, 457bs as the new way to save for retirement by putting money from our paycheck into these accounts. Now, the benefit of that, when those were first started, was to get tax savings today. So the idea was if I put $10,000 into my 401k, I didn't have to pay federal tax on that. And in some states, I didn't have to pay state tax either. It depends on what state you live in. So those are called pre-tax contributions. So I could be building up my retirement account at work on a pre-tax basis. I'm saving taxes today. The concept was defer, 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 meaning defer, defer taxes to later years. The idea is when you're working, typically you're in a much higher tax bracket. And when you retire, you're in a much lower tax bracket. So you defer on a pre-tax basis while you're working and you have high income tax, such that when you then retire and you no longer have a paycheck coming in, you're in a lower tax bracket. Now, I will say I've seen a shift in that over the years because some of the tax laws have changed. And there's that whole group of people who were working who actually have decent Social Security and pensions and 401ks. Okay? So now you might even be in a higher tax bracket when you retire. So this is where we want to talk about where does it make sense to put contributions into retirement accounts and how do we manage it? And does the concept of defer, defer, defer still make sense? Personally, right before we go to the break, I'm going to say, just like we diversify our investment portfolios, I like the idea of diversifying our asset holdings. And I'll talk about that when we come back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Did you know there are many ways you can support the programs you love on WDIY? You can make a gift of appreciated stock or mutual funds. A powerful way to give, and you may avoid capital gains taxes. If you're 70 and a half or older, you can also make a tax-smart gift directly from your IRA. And if you have a donor-advised fund, you can donate directly from the account and benefit from a more tax- and cost-efficient way of giving. To learn more, contact Seamus McGrogan at 610-694-8100, extension 3.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy, and they'll bring it into the studio. We're talking about Roth IRAs tonight, and I'm hoping to cover kind of the myriad of, nuances of Roth IRAs, and a little tiny bit of the history so you can understand, the options for you. So in kind of wrapping up the history about originally Social Security pensions, as pensions go by the wayside, and kind of simultaneously, we had 401k options. Typically, those 401k options were on a pre-tax basis. Occasionally, pre 1986, I think you could have some people were making after-tax contributions into their 401ks. So, if you're someone who's worked at a company for a really long time, and you're retiring, you might be in your 60s, you look at your 401k, you might actually have after-tax dollars in that 401k. That could be important for you if you were to leave there and roll over that 401k. Those after-tax contributions can be rolled over into a Roth, by the way. But as long as you're keeping them there, that after-tax money isn't earning anything that's tax-free, whereas Roth grows tax-free. Now, if you take that after-tax money and roll it over into a Roth, then that could continue to grow tax-free. All right? So that was just like a little minor asterisk I thought of just now in the moment. So let's talk about the concept of defer. I said if you're in a high tax bracket today and you get the deferral of tax on the amounts you're putting into your retirement account, that could be, a nice little incentive. So, for example, if you put $10,000 into a 401k on a pre-tax basis, you might only see the difference in your pay, not $10,000 out of your pocket, but you might see $7,800 out of your pocket, you see, because you're not paying taxes on that $10,000 today. So you get the tax deferral today. It goes into the 401k pot that you have that you can choose your investment options and make your elections for that. A third-party administrator, your employer, is keeping track of all of that over the years. They give you an annual statement. They tell you what investments are available. You get to pick and choose them. Typically, that's usually, once in a while, you see a plan that doesn't have that. But assuming you get to pick the investment options, it's growing when you've put the money in all tax deferred. It's growing and growing and growing, depending on your risk tolerance. It might be growing really fast, or if you're too conservative, it might be growing very slowly. But regardless, it's growing. And when you eventually take the money out, it's all going to be income taxable to you, no matter how you invested it. I've had people who think, oh, I get really good dividends in my 401k. Doesn't matter. It's going to be ordinary income taxable in your regular 401k. Okay, no matter how you have it invested, it's growing and the income is all going to come out ordinary, taxed at ordinary income tax rates when you eventually have to take it out. Now, when do you have to take it out? You might have to take it out when you need money, when you retire, or at some point a required minimum distribution age. And the required minimum distribution age is currently 73. For people born 1960 or later, it's going to be 70. Did I say 70, 63? 73. 73 is the required minimum distribution age now. But for people born 1960 or later, it's going to be age 75. So they're making it longer, probably to correspond with longevity. So at some point, you do have to take the money out. You could take it out earlier. You do have to follow the rules for distributions from 401ks. I've talked about that on other shows. You know, you have to be a certain age, blah, blah, blah. The reason I'm not going to get into that detail is because the goal of the show tonight is to talk about Roths, and that's what I'm trying to get to. So the Roth IRAs grow income tax-free, all right? So defer. Could be a good thing if you're in a high tax bracket, you're working, your spouse is working, maybe you have some other kind of income on your tax return. That could be a really good thing. Now, you might be in a low tax bracket, so maybe you don't really want to do the pre-tax. Because here's the thing. Back in the day when we all talked about defer, the tax rates were so much higher, like so much higher. Now we have such low income tax rates that it may not make as much sense to do defer. Or maybe we don't defer all of our contributions. So there's different kinds of Roth IRA, there's different kinds of Roths, there's different kinds of retirement accounts. So let me see if I can kind of like block this out for you. So we have employer plans, but you may not have an employer plan at your work. So if you don't have an employer plan at your work, you could set up your own individual account, whether it's an IRA, an individual retirement account, that you get a deduction. So you're doing it on a pre-tax standpoint. You're getting a deduction on your tax return for that. So it means you're not paying income tax on that contribution. But again, that is going to be growing at ordinary income tax rates. And there's different contribution limits for individual accounts, whether it's an individual IRA on a pre-tax basis or an individual Roth on an after-tax basis versus the employer plans, whether it's on a pre-tax basis or a Roth after-tax basis, the amounts that you can put into the employer plans is much, much higher than what you can put into the individual plans. All right? So we want to really, really think about taxes. And here's the biggest takeaway of the show. The concept of funding a Roth is if you are in a low tax bracket when you fund the Roth, whether, as Nancy's question, talking about a conversion, whether you're funding the Roth or converting the Roth, it makes sense when you're in a low tax bracket, and you may expect to be in a higher tax bracket in the future. All right, and I'm going to foreshadow to probably toward the end of the show where I'm going to talk about using a Roth for estate planning, because maybe you're still in a low tax bracket, but maybe the estate planning could be for a surviving spouse or for your heirs to give them an income tax-free asset. So right now we're talking about different ways to save into for retirement, individual accounts, Roth or traditional IRA, or employer plans like a 401k, 403b, or 457. So Roth IRA, individual retirement account that allows you to save money toward your retirement in a tax-free manner, such that upon a qualified distribution, any earnings and growth are not taxable. So this is from the IRS.gov. You can always get to your original contributions without tax, but you must follow the qualified distribution rules to retain the tax-free treatment on earnings. So traditional IRA, deductible, and if you grab money, it's going to be taxable. If you grab money early, too early, before age 59 and a half, and an exception doesn't apply, you're going to have income tax plus a 10% penalty. The Roth, which you have funded on a after-tax basis, I said it has to be a qualified distribution. Any earnings and growth would not be taxable in a qualified distribution, But guess what? Your original contributions into that Roth, you can always get out. That's why I like them so much. If you have questions, we're at the second break. Phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad... Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org. WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here in WDIY. Podcasts of prior programs are also available on WDIY.org under Public Affairs. Slide all the way to the bottom for Your Financial Choices, or I think you can request it on Spotify as well or any of the other streaming services. If you have questions, 610-758-8810. We're talking about Roth IRAs tonight, kind of a little bit of history and the evolution of them. So I just mentioned if you had no other retirement accounts, you may be able to do an individual traditional IRA or an individual Roth. If you do an individual traditional IRA, it's a deduction on your tax return. If you end up needing money before your normal retirement age, you would have taxes and penalties on the distribution. Whereas on the Roth, if you're doing it on an after-tax basis, you don't get a deduction for it up front, but it's going to grow income tax-free and stay income tax-free in a qualified distribution. But if for any reason you need to grab the money early, you can always take out the original contribution. That's in a regular Roth. There is a limit on how much you can put into the individual accounts, and those numbers for Roth or traditional IRA are the same, but it does depend on your filing status, age, and income on the tax return. So I'm only going to refer to Roth because that's what I'm talking about tonight, but the contribution for 2026 is $7,500 into a Roth. You have to have earnings of that much. If you're 50 or older, you can do a catch-up contribution of $1,100, which means you can put $8,600 for those people who are 50 or over into a Roth IRA if you have at least earnings of that much and your income is within certain thresholds. So if you're married filing joint and your income is less than $242,000, you can put that much money in a Roth. And quite often, you know, when I hear people having, you know, huge amounts accumulated in their bank account, if they're eligible to fund a Roth IRA within the income limits, within the earnings and your filing status, to me, it's kind of like, well, if you have enough cash in your bank account for your emergency reserves and any, you know, short-term goals, you could stick that money instead of earning interest on your bank account or in CDs. If you put it into a Roth, the earnings are going to be income tax-free. You don't have to take the money out. You can invest it and it can grow income tax-free for years. There is no required minimum distributions on Roth IRAs. So that's something to keep in mind. So if your combined income, married filing joint, 242 or less, you can fund a Roth in those amounts I mentioned. And if your spouse perhaps does not work, if you're married, married filing joint. If your spouse does not work, you can still fund a spouse's Roth IRA based on the earner's wages. So if the earner has wages of $10,000, I told you you're 50 or over, your limit would be $8,600. Well, there still could be another $1,400 going into a spouse Roth. If your income is, you know, $100,000 for one spouse and the other one's not working, and your combined income is less than 242, you can fund a Roth for each based on the working spouse's wages. For single people, the limit is under, oh, and there's a phase out, by the way. I said under 242, there's a phase out between 242 and 252. If your page one income is over 252, then you're not eligible to do a regular Roth contribution. I'll talk about a backdoor later if I have time. Single people, it's $153,000 or less. There's a phase out between 153 and 168. So that's single or head of household. If you're married filing separate, you're penalized. I mean, you can only do a Roth if your income's between zero and $10,000. So you really get penalized for that filing status. All right, so that would be a Roth. You can fund that, and it's not a deduction on your tax return, but you can get it invested and growing income tax-free for the future. But if you ever need it, you can take out those original contributions. Now, things have evolved over time, and remember how I said originally people had, you know, pensions, and then employers wanted to offload that responsibility onto the employees. So they came up with these retirement accounts, qualified accounts, we call them under ERISA, 403Bs, 401Ks, 457Bs. So now people could put money through their paycheck, get a deduction, tax deferral. Well, when Roth, individual Roths came about, down the line, they started saying, hey, can we allow a Roth feature on a 401k? I'm just going to call it employer plan from now on. Can we put a Roth feature on the employer plan? Because guess what? We have people working who are in really low tax brackets, and they might not need that tax deferral. That old mantra that our parents had and our grandparents had, defer, 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 might not apply to maybe our younger generation, or maybe someone who's retired but working part-time. They might not need that deferral anymore. Do we have any other options? Hey, bright idea. Let's add a Roth feature to these employer retirement plans. So here's the thing. Pay attention. If you're working and you have a 401k and you're under these income limits, you can have both a contribution to a 401k for your Roth and the individual Roth. You can have both. Some people think, oh, but I'm already doing the Roth, you know, at work. I can't do the individual one. Well, here's the hierarchy I want you to pay attention to. Okay, the hierarchy. Number one, if your employer does a match, as long as your cash flow allows, okay, always put in to get the match. That's free money. So that's the first level. Imagine like hierarchy, okay, or a pyramid. First thing you want, always get the match. Second place you might want to put your money would be Roth IRA. If your income allows it, your cash flow allows it, and you're in a low tax bracket, you could put it in the Roth. And let's pretend you're eligible to put in the $7,500. You're under 50 years old, you can put $7,500 in, and you put it in the Roth. Now, if you still have enough money in your cash flow that you could still put more money away, then you could look to the retirement account at work. You've already done the match, and let's say you are in a low tax bracket, so you're doing it on a Roth basis for your employer. Now you do your individual Roth, but you still could do more. Now you could up your contribution to your Roth at work. That is a way to get more into a Roth account than just the individual amount. So the amount that you can put into a designated Roth is $24,500 for 2026. And if you're 50 or over, the catch-up is $8,000. If you're age 60 to 63, the catch-up is $11,250. So someone who's ages 60 to 63 in 2026 can put $35,750 into their retirement account at work. And if you're within those other income limits I mentioned, you could also do a Roth. It all kind of depends on your cash flow, your emergency reserves, making sure you have money. But the key is you sometimes have your hands tied on getting access to the retirement accounts through the employer retirement account. Sometimes your hands are tied. They don't let you take it, what we call an in-service distribution. But you can access the individual Roth you have if you need it. You see? So that's why I like that as the second place in the hierarchy. So first, get the match. Second place, individual Roth. Third place, extra money into the employer plan if you've got it. Folks, we're talking about Roth IRAs. We're building up. We're building up to answering Nancy's question about conversion. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about Roth IRAs tonight. So differentiating, if you're taking notes, differentiating between individual IRA, individual Roth, and employer plans. Designated Roth is what we call that. So I like to differentiate this by saying individual Roth for the smaller ones that we can make the smaller contributions to, and designated Roth, which is a contribution through the 401k or the employer plan. All right. Much higher amounts we can contribute through the employer plan. Now, I do often wonder when I see people with really, really high income putting money in their Roth feature of the employer plan. I'm always kind of surprised about that. Like, because the highest tax rates, you know, we're looking at 35% or something. And, you know, then we might have net investment income tax on that too. Tax rates go up to even 37%. So 35-37%, to me, I think I would probably want a deferral on that kind of money. But if I'm in the 10% bracket or the 12% bracket, maybe even the 22% bracket, maybe I want to do Roth because maybe I don't need the tax deduction because that's kind of fairly low tax rates. And here's some of the reasons why I might want to build up that Roth. Because remember, I told you about having diversified assets in your investment portfolio when we talk about diversification stocks versus bonds. But in stocks, we can have large cap, mid cap, small cap, international, domestic. And in bonds, we can have, you know, corporate bonds, government bonds. So there can be a mix of asset types in your investments. And I love the idea of account types, a mix of account types, so that when you go to retire, for people who aren't retired yet, you have diversified the buckets from which you can pull money from when you need it when you retire, because there could be opportunities for you later in your retirement years for playing tax brackets, for playing, you know, other tax benefits. And let me see if I can give you an example. If, for example, someone retires at 63 and they're not eligible for Medicare and perhaps they no longer have access to health insurance through, you know, COBRA or a spouse or whatever it might be, and they may need to go on the marketplace. Well, the marketplace health insurance is the premiums that you pay may be based on your income, and that's getting stricter now in 2026. So we may want to keep income off of your return to maximize the premium tax credit or offset that you may be eligible to receive. And what's nice is if we have options of where we grab money for your cash needs until you may start collecting Social Security or a pension or, you know, taking money out of your retirement accounts, you might have cash in the bank as one resource. You might have investments, which would be another resource that we could probably get money out of without too big of a tax consequence, depending on, you know, what kind of gains you have or what kind of investments you have. And then we could also pull from Roth IRAs if we needed to help fund cash flow to keep your income off your tax return or keep your income low, which could qualify you maybe for some of those premium tax benefits. Another reason we might want to keep income off your return might be for if you're a little bit of a higher income earner, maybe you have nice pensions and Social Security, but you still need to kind of further fund some of your cash needs. Yes, because sometimes people in retirement are living it, living the life and doing things that they want to do and they need a little extra money. We may be able to pull from a Roth then if we want to me, personally, as an advisor, the Roth is always the last place I want people to pull from, but it gives us options because perhaps what someone might have, let's pretend you're age 65, and now you have to worry about Medicare premiums, and Medicare premiums increase depending on how much income you have on your tax return. So the more income you have on your tax return, it could put you into another tier for those Medicare premiums. We call that the IRMA adjustment, income-related monthly adjustment amount. So if you just go over like a couple dollars, you're going to be subject to it. So if I say, oh, you need, you know, an extra $5,000, and boy, if we take $5,000 out of your IRA, that's going to be taxable, or $5,000 out of your 401k, that's going to put you over the tier, then maybe we could say, hey, why don't we just grab that $5,000 from the Roth if we don't have any other options, okay? So that's why it's nice to have different buckets to pull from. All right, so let's frame this out. Individual Roth, individual IRA. But the individual IRA has a deduction, but your hands are tied on getting the money out. You have to be age 59 and a half or qualify for an exception. Roth, there's also, you know, hands tied on the earnings and growth, but you can always get your original contribution. We talked about the designated Roth. That's through the employer plan. The employer could put handcuffs on you getting it out. They might say you can't take an in-service distribution until you're age 60 or age 59 and a half or age 65. You have to look at the plan document, the summary plan document for the retirement account at work to see when you can get money out. So you may not be able to get it, which is why I like, you know, if you're eligible to fund a Roth outside of your employer plan because you have, you know, you're within the income limits, I like that as an option to be able to grab money if you need it. Now, there's been some further evolution on the designated Roth. So the designated Roth, remember I said we as employees can decide, are we going to do it on a pre-tax basis? I'm going to get the deduction today, defer to tax, or I can do it on an after-tax basis into my Roth feature of my 401k. Number one, your employer has to have adopted the Roth feature, which so many of them have now. There was a period of time where it was really slow adoption, but now I see many, many more having it. And what has further been a further catalyst to employers adopting the Roth feature to their employer plans is new legislation. And the new legislation says that for anyone who made, I thought it was $145,000, but then I was reading today, it's like $150,000. So they might have changed a little bit. Anybody who made $150,000 or more in 2025 in wages, in 2026, the employer is going to be required, if that employee makes catch-up contributions, so this is would only be for people who are 50 or over, if that employee is going to make a catch-up contribution, that catch-up contribution has to be designated Roth. So you're not going to get the tax deferral on catch-up contributions anymore. So if the catch-up contribution, I said, was $8,000, and I'm just going to use 25% as a simple, you know, tax rate, even though it doesn't exist. It's 10, 12, 22, 24. But $8,000, if I was doing it on a pre-tax basis before, I would only see, because I'd save tax, 25% would be $2,000. I'd only see my paycheck go down $6,000. Well, now that catch-up contribution has to be done on an after-tax basis into the Roth portion. I am going to see my taxes go down $8,000. Sorry, my cash flow, my paychecks go down $8,000, you know, for the year. All right. So that is new legislation for people who made, I'm just going to say, use the 150 that I saw today, even though it was 145 in the original legislation. And there's always like little caveats, little asterisks. So if one of the examples was if someone made $100,000 at, you know, one employer and they made $80,000 at another employer, that's $180,000. They're over. But guess what? It's two different employers. That won't apply then. The next year, if that person is still working at both places, that does not, the catch up does not have to go into the Roth because neither employer knows that. All right. Now, Another little asterisk, if you are someone who works multiple jobs, though, the limits I'm talking about apply to you as an individual, not per employer. So for the employer plans, if the normal employee contribution is 24/5, I cannot do 24/5 at employer A and 24/5 at employer B. It's 24/5 for me. Same thing with the catch-up. All right. So the designated Roth for people who have never done a Roth contribution through their employer, you may end up having Roth contributions if you're someone who does the maximum contribution into their employer plan. But remember, if your income, let's go back, if you can follow my thoughts here. If you are within those income limits that allow you to do the Roth, then maybe you just want to do the Roth into an individual Roth. If they're going to put it into the Roth in your employer plan anyway, the catch-up, maybe you want to put the, what did I say the IRA amounts were for 2026, if you're 50 or over, 8,600. Maybe you just want to put the 8,600 in an individual and don't do the catch-up. Elect not to do the catch-up contribution through your employer. So talk to your HR people or go online to your, you know, TPA provider website for your employer plan and maybe elect not to do the catch-up contribution if you wanted to still fund the full amount. You could do it, that catch-up contribution, into an individual Roth. That way you could still get it if you needed it. All right. So that's something to think about. So that was part of the further evolution on that. I did talk about the difference in the catch-up contributions. If you're 60, 61, 62, or 63, catch-up contribution for you, you're so special, is $11,250 versus the $8,000 for the other people 50 or over. So we're going to talk about Roth conversions. And then I also want to talk about like the estate planning and why Roths might make sense more today than it did years ago, because we are in such lower tax brackets now, particularly for married filing joint people, where you may be in a low tax bracket when you're married filing joint and retired, perhaps. So you might both be retired. You might have Social Security, maybe a small pension, you might have some required minimum distribution. But if you don't have a required minimum distribution until age 75, you might not have seen the hit that that's going to do to your taxes yet. Or maybe you haven't collected Social Security yet. Because remember, at the beginning of the show, I said it's a circular calculation of how much Social Security gets taxed based on other income on your return. So you might have a window where you say, gosh, I'm in a low tax bracket now. But maybe if I'm married and one of the spouses dies, that spouse could end up being in a higher tax bracket because of required minimum distributions on IRAs and 401ks and IRA rollovers. So a surviving spouse may end up in a higher tax bracket than when you're married. So you might want to think about, does it make sense to do conversions? But one of Nancy's questions was, is the next 3 years a particularly good opportunity to do a Roth conversion? And I'm a little confused as to why Nancy asked in particular the next 3 years, because I will tell you, I would maybe argue that the next 3 years is not a good time to maybe do a conversion. But we'll talk about it when we come back from this next break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY, also available on the WDIY app and many streaming services. We're talking about Roths tonight. I want to make sure that I emphasize that this show is for educational purposes. And the reason I'm going to say that is because this kind of planning actually can be quite complicated. It depends on your situation. I mean, from my standpoint, someone who's young, just starting to work, I love Roth IRAs. It's a great concept. You've got a huge timeline, hopefully a long timeline, to let that baby grow and grow tax-free. And I assume in your early years, you might be in your lowest income tax brackets. And then in your future years, when you're, you know, really hitting it home, because you were so smart to do a Roth when you were young, you were so smart, you're going to do really well in work. And they're going to promote you because you were so smart. Then you're going to be making a lot of money in your future, and you're going to be in a higher tax bracket. And you're going to be like, wow, let that Roth grow. And again, it depends on your investment allocation and et cetera and risk tolerance. But that really just makes sense. I'm saying that to my son all the time. Did you fund your Roth? Did you fund your Roth? Did you fund your Roth? Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. So keep in mind, Roth IRAs can grow income tax-free. What I wanted to say about the next 3 years, and make sure I get this in, a few tips about Roth conversions. Number one, there used to be an income limit on it, meaning if your income was over, I don't remember, it might have been like $100,000, you weren't allowed to do a conversion. So that's number one. They took that away. There's no limit now. Anybody can convert any amount, okay? So if you have $1 million IRA, you can convert $1 million. If you have $1 million IRA, you can convert $5,000, you convert $10,000, you convert any amount you want. You don't have to convert a whole IRA. You don't have to convert a whole account. You can convert a dollar amount. But here's the second thing. You used to be able to change your mind. You had until April 15th of the next tax year to say, shoot, doggone it, darn it, didn't want to do that conversion, because when I converted my $1 million, it immediately dropped to $600,000. Not such a good idea. I'd rather have waited until the market dropped and my IRA was worth less to do my conversion, that it could grow when I moved it over into my Roth IRA and let it, the market recover and it grows back, all right? So we could change our mind. We can't change our mind anymore. So this is where the careful planning comes into place, because we don't want maybe someone to do a conversion and we didn't know about some extra income they had. We didn't know about those capital gain distributions. We didn't know about that inheritance. We didn't know they cashed those savings bonds that they've had for 50 years. And all of a sudden we have way more income on the tax return than we thought, and we might be converting at a higher tax rate than we thought. All right. So it takes careful planning. I don't want to... I want to make sure I emphasize that. So we're talking about whether we want to do that conversion. No limit. Number two, can't change your mind. So you got to make sure you know what you're doing when you do it. All right. So now we are thinking about doing a conversion. And Nancy asked about the next 3 years. I'm not exactly sure where she was going with that. But why I said we want to be careful, it also depends on your age, your filing status, your income. So, Nancy, I'm guessing if you are in your retirement years, if people are 65 and older, we now have something called the enhanced senior deduction. So if you're 65 or over, it's a $6,000 extra deduction. If you're married and your spouse is 65 or over, that is another $6,000. So that's a $12,000 deduction that goes away if our income is too high. So if we did a big conversion and we think, well, we're paying, you know, our 22% tax bracket or something, it might cost more than 22% in tax, because now we just lost a $12,000 deduction. All right. The other thing that could impact the concept of conversion is if someone is in a 12% tax bracket and they convert IRA money to Roth, that's what we're talking about when we say conversions, Roth conversions. We say, hey, IRS, we're going to pay tax on that IRA that we, you know, built up over the years or that we did through our employer and rolled over to an IRA rollover. We're going to tax some of that today. I'm going to pay tax today because I think I'm in a low tax bracket. I'm going to put it into my Roth. It's going to grow tax-free. So, hey, IRS, I want to do that conversion. And we think we're in a 12% tax bracket, and that's great. But then when I put that conversion on my tax return, now all of a sudden maybe I'm not in the 12% tax bracket, or I've just changed what I might call tax-free income into taxable income. And what kind of tax-free income might I have had that I just turned into taxable? What did I say at the top of the show? What did I say at the middle of the show? Social Security, circular calculation. So Social Security can get included in your income up to 85%. Someone who only has Social Security does not pay tax on Social Security. Someone who has maybe $10,000 of interest income, they're probably not paying tax on Social Security. But if you have a pension, you have required minimum distributions, you have some interest and dividend income, then some of your Social Security is probably going to be included in taxable income, but maybe not all up to 85%. But as soon as I put $10,000 more on the tax return, I have just put $18,500 on the tax return because more of my Social Security could end up getting taxed. Now, if I cap out at 85% or I'm already at 85%, well, now we're probably already in the 22% tax bracket. Other kinds of income that could be tax-free that I could now have just changed to taxable would be qualified dividends or long-term capital gains. So there are times where I might want to play someone's 12% tax bracket, not with ordinary income, not with a Roth conversion, but I might want to play it with long-term capital gains. If someone has an over-concentration in some stock and I need to reduce it, if I can reduce it at a zero tax rate, that looks pretty good. So I might want to play with that. So this again goes back to the careful planning, because you have to understand how all these little ingredients work together and you know, the implications of them. So back to Nancy's question about the next 3 years, particularly good, that enhanced senior deduction is going away. I think it's good through 2028 and then it's going away. So we've kind of taken a bit of a pause on some clients where we were doing regular Roth conversions. I do like to play brackets. I might be converting 10,000, 20,000, 40,000, maybe not the huge $1 million conversions, but we've had those too. But maybe smaller conversions, and now might be taking a pause because if we put 10,000 on the return, we might be losing some of that enhanced senior deduction. So Nancy also asked, does it depend on one's annual income? Yes. And here's the secret there. If you have not already started collecting Social Security, then I don't have to worry about that circular calculation. That is a sweet, sweet spot. I love if someone's coming to me before they collect Social Security that we can kind of look at those options. This all has to be balanced with your cash flow, risk tolerance, and et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, if you're doing a Roth conversion, how are you investing that Roth? If you're going to tell me you're going to keep it in cash, well, then why would I convert and pay tax on an IRA conversion that I'm putting in a Roth in cash that's not growing? Okay? So you kind of have to understand the whole big picture and how all these little elements work together. And how does one do a Roth conversion, Nancy asked? You just tell your custodian, I want to convert some of this IRA money to a Roth. And the IRA money, I say individual IRA is what I call an IRA, a traditional IRA. And then there's also IRA rollovers where you took your employer plan and rolled it over into an individual retirement account that you want to manage yourself. Either of the IRA rollover or the IRA, some or part or all, whatever you want to do, any amount you can convert. You just have to be aware of how it hits your tax return. You set up a Roth IRA if you don't already have one, and then you convert. Now, here's a little something to know. Roth distributions. Remember I was saying about qualified distributions? It's typically the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half. Longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half before you can take out the earnings and the growth, okay? But you can always take out those original contributions. Remember when I said that? You can always take out the original contributions. There is a different rule for conversions. And the conversions have a new five-year rule for each year you do a conversion. So if I do a conversion in 25, I can't take out the earnings income and the original contribution the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half unless I have an exception. One of the exceptions is if I'm doing those conversions or rollovers after age 59 and a half, again, I can always take out my original contribution. What they don't want you to do is take, let's pretend I'm 30 and I convert $10,000 of my IRA over to a Roth because, oh, I heard I can take it out without a penalty. Well, you would have had a penalty, a 10% penalty on that $10,000 distribution from your IRA because you're too young to do it, and you would have had income tax. So you convert it, you pay tax on the $10,000. Now you think you're going to be clever and take money out of that converted Roth and avoid a 10% penalty. No, because you don't have an exception. It's the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half, unless there's an exception. You can't get back some of that original contribution because you weren't 59 and a half. They're not going to let you avoid the 10% penalty in a backdoor way. There is something called the backdoor Roth as well for people whose income is too high to do a Roth. But personally, if you're still working and you have a Roth option available at work and you're in a low tax bracket, you could always do that. But if you don't have any other IRAs, the backdoor Roth is where you make a non-deductible IRA contribution, I don't take a deduction on the tax return. I can't do a Roth because my income's too high, but the IRS says I can still put money in an IRA. I just don't get a deduction for it, which means I now have basis in that IRA. So if I have no other IRAs and I put $8,000 into a non-deductible IRA, I have $8,000 of basis. And now I want to convert that $8,000. Well, I have basis in the $8,000. I pay no tax. It's a way to get money into a Roth IRA. It's called the backdoor Roth. If I have $1 million IRA and I tried this little trick, not going to work. Almost the whole $8,000 would be taxable because the IRS looks at IRAs all as one. So it's not going to say, oh, Lori put $8,000 in that IRA account and she has $1 million IRA account over it somewhere else, but I only want to convert that eight. No, no. The IRS says, I don't care where you have it. I don't care how many accounts you have. If you have an IRA, the basis is $8,000. Yes, Lori, yes, you get that, but it's $8,000 over your $1,008,000. All right. So most of that would be taxable if you're doing a conversion. So backdoor Roths work really well for people who don't have IRAs already. All right. And then just remember that conversion resets every year. And in fact, if you inherit a Roth IRA, that same conversion rule applies. And here's another benefit of the Roth IRAs. There is no required minimum distribution on those while you own it. And when you die, your beneficiaries have to take it out within 10 years, but they don't have to take it out until the 10th year. Whereas an IRA, they have to take out a required minimum distribution every year if the decedent was required minimum distribution age. Otherwise, they have to take it out within 10 years, all income taxable, whereas the Roth is income tax free. That could be a big win for either a surviving spouse or for your heirs. And that's where I talk about that being for tax planning, for estate planning, and particularly for anyone who has a federal estate. So anybody can call. It's $15 million or more is your federal exemption. You may want to do conversions to save income tax for those heirs. Income tax that you pay up front today reduces your estate, reduces your exposure to that 40% federal estate tax if you're subject to it with that size of an estate. And now you've also saved your kids the income tax on that Roth IRA. All right, folks, lots of information. Thank you, Nancy, for the questions. I hope that helped. Next week, we're doing distribution planning from retirement accounts. I thought I'd keep the same theme. Thank you, Bob and Cindy, for being here. Thank you, Bridger. Thank you, listeners. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.